This is Nadine Langlois, and I enjoy listening to Cut to the Chase podcast with Gregory Proctor.
Hello, everyone. This is Gregory Proctor. Welcome to Cut to the Chase, Episode 5, Leaders Are People Too. Today, we have a special guest who's a dear friend of mine that when I share this story with our audience, it's so ironic and it's so unique that sometimes people can be in the same place at the same time and not realize that you're missing out on the wonderful things that can occur when you meet others. A little bit about this backstory. David and I have worked for some of the largest Fortune 500 companies, my company providing project management support, David's company providing leadership coaching with regards to some of these Fortune 500 companies. We've literally been in the same area at the same time, know the same people, and unfortunately never had an opportunity to meet except through a mutual friend. And so with that, I'm going to jump into providing a little bit of introduction about David. David is the president of Swagger and Associates, a strategic management consultancy firm. He's also a distinguished professor of Emeritus Strategic Management at the Darla Moore School of Business there at the University of South Carolina. David holds a PhD in management from the Smith School of Business at the University of Maryland, an MS and a BS from Polytech Institute of New York. As I mentioned earlier, David has advised and consulted with numerous publicly traded companies and privately held companies, not only here in the U.S., but also domestically, which is kind of coincidental, like I said earlier, you know, that we were brought together on such different paths. But also, David is recognized as a part of the Journal of Management as being one of the top scholars who has the greatest impact on the field of management in the last quarter century. He's also been widely published in scientific and professional journals, and has also published several books. So, David, any remarks for our audience?
Well, Greg, I'd like to first off just thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts and to join such an interesting group of people who are listening. And I also appreciate the folks that are taking the time to listen to this, and hopefully I could provide them with some insights that'll be worthwhile. Essentially, I've had an opportunity to, over the years and in the more recent past, speak with a lot of my ex-consulting clients, current clients, leaders in large and small firms about what's going on. And it's interesting to me because I'm finding that a lot of the media that we listen to has really focused a lot of the impact of this virus on employees. And I don't hear much discussion of how leaders are, you know, feeling about this and thinking about this. We're hearing a lot about, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to open business, we need to not open business. So what I'd like to do today is I'd like to take a very important empathetic approach here. And not that I want to discount the importance of employees, because they're central to the world, but also to look at the people who lead them and the challenges they are facing as well. And the title of this session I called, you know, Leaders Are People Too, is to remind everybody that we're all human. Whether we're in leadership positions, employee positions, we have our own set of issues going on, both professionally and personally. And hopefully the readers will understand, or the listeners, I'm sorry, will understand that many, believe it or not, of the personal concerns are not too dissimilar to the ones they have. So I think for all of us, we need to develop more empathy in all directions. And that means to me, just try and almost imagine what it feels like to be in the, you know, in the boots of someone else that's going through this process.
Sure. Well, thank you for that, David. And let me just kind of set the stage real quick for our listeners before we give you the floor. The purpose of this podcast is kind of to help our listeners understand the overall challenges that our leaders are experiencing by this pandemic. And we're hoping that through this podcast, you'll get a better understanding and appreciation for those challenges. And as you've alluded to, David, their thoughts and feeling, and realize that we're not too dissimilar from one another. As you've alluded to in your opening remarks, you know, we have to have empathy as we begin to look at our leaders. So, David, the floor is all yours. We're ready to learn some knowledge here.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I want to point out that COVID, by the way, doesn't discriminate as to what level of an organization you are at, whether you're a leader or not. It's out there and it's That's trying true. To get all of us. So
exactly.
I just wanted to keep that in mind. So let me just start off and look at this from the leader's lens about his or her business before I get into their personal situation. And we'll talk about that as well. Some of the challenges and concerns, I think everyone is dealing in a world of great uncertainty right now. And there are a lot of different opinions on how fast this thing is spreading, where it's spreading, the duration. You know, is it going to go away soon? Are we going to get a second round of this? And that has a tremendous impact, believe it or not, both positively and negatively, on businesses. There are going to be some businesses, by the way, that are going to have an opportunity out of this, as, you know, said it as it is to say, you know, companies that are providing medical equipment are ramping up, and then others, maybe restaurants on a small scale, providing services. They're struggling. Even as we sit here right now, you know, we're in different states and different states' mm-hmm. governors have different perspectives on this. And some are opening mm-hmm. up quickly, some are hesitant. But this creates challenges all over the place. And again, some opportunities and some real threats that they have to deal with. You know, in this, a lot of leaders are going to have to address not only their own organization's resilience, agility, and adaptability, but their own personally to get through this. So let me just talk about, you know, whether you're in the manufacturing sector, service sector, and let's not forget, and I've done work with not-for-profits. They're feeling the pinch potentially from this as well. So one of the big questions is, how long will COVID last, and how will it impact my company in the near future? And how am I positioned to survive and compete if we come out of this, which is more of the resilience issue? And again, this may vary, as I said, by geographic area, states, regions, countries. You know, if I'm a large global company, I'm dealing with operations that may be all around the world, and I've got to worry about my people in France, in Asia, in the US, so on and so forth. We have, you know, we talk about companies in manufacturing, they're dealing with what's the source of their sales. Can they continue to run their operation? Can they service their customer? We've all heard about the challenges with supply chain, which is where companies, if they're manufacturing, get the raw material. Can they get the material they need, even if they can produce here? You know, in the service mm-hmm. business, I live in a sort of a resort community where we have a lot of tourists. Hospitality, hotels, restaurants, they're dealing with a lot of issues about, you know, can they stay alive right now and keep their businesses going? Not-for-profits, they're worried about donations and funding. Are they going to be able to get money? Are people now worried mm-hmm. about money with 33 million people unemployed? Are people going to be as generous as they were? What's going to happen to their programming? Can they implement that? So what I'm trying to present here is everybody's got something to deal with as a leader, regardless of the sector that they operate under. So, you know, there's a lot of speculating going on. There's a lot of assumption making going on. So the concerns are, will my customers rebound? And if so, when? I mean, that's an interesting question. Can I protect effectively the health of my employees, my customers, if I open? If I open sooner as state governments relaxing stay-at-home orders, what does that mean when maybe I, as a business, really do not want to open up, but yet legally they're saying I have that opportunity? There's a lot of pressure. What if my competitors open and I can't? You know, can I, are we going to have to worry about this more intense wave? So what happens if I open up my operations now, hire all my people back? Am I going to have to turn around and shut it again? What about other simultaneous challenges? Nobody is thinking about a few things. For example, we're thinking now, but we don't talk about it in where I live at the coast, hurricanes. we've had down, we live in, I'm in Hilton Head, South Carolina, and we've had a hurricane 4 of the last 5 years. We're trying to survive COVID, but if we get into hurricane season June 1st, that is another element, earthquakes, fires. Is FEMA going to be there to provide the funding that they have in the past? As importantly, maybe more so, a lot of these executives, especially in smaller businesses, are asking me, how long can my company ride it out financially? How much cash do I have? You know, can I go to the banks? Will they loan me more money? If I'm a big corporation, maybe I can go to, you know, to the markets and issue shares or stocks to fund myself. We hear about the new loans that are available to businesses from the federal government via the banks. What are considered maybe forgivable loans if I borrow money and I use it to keep all my people employed? You know, they've gotten the first dose of it. What happens if this runs on and we have a relapse? Can they get more money? How much money is the government going to be willing to keep going out to keep the economy going? So, you know, these small businesses in particular oftentimes have very tough times getting money. And it's not like these big wealthy corporations where they got a lot of money in reserve. A lot of the people don't have it. And they're sometimes dipping into their own personal funds to keep this going. And then people asking, if I run a small business and I got to dig into my own personal funds, what does impact does that have on me, my family, putting my kids through college up the road, saving for my retirement? So, you know, if we have to lay off employees, it's a hard thing for humans to do in spite of what people might think. A lot of the small, medium-sized businesses, there's a lot of loyalty both ways in these companies. And a lot of these people are hardworking and loyal. At what point do I have to, again, protect my personal savings and just let people go? This is heart-wrenching for a lot of folks. It's not a simple and pleasant thing to go through. So, you know, if I do let my employees go, for example, can I get them back? Will they be around? Will they have moved away trying to find something else? And we're finding also now that the unemployment insurance that's out there, you know, the federal government is supplementing unemployment insurance with $600 a week. I've talked to some companies that said that their employees are getting more on unemployment insurance than they were making with them. So what's the motivation? You got any thoughts, Craig, so far?
Well, I mean, I think you've hit on, you know, a lot of valuable points. I mean, particularly the last point that you made, you know, just to kind of look at it from a different perspective. My sister is a general manager for Ruby Tuesdays. And I think this past Sunday, in some of our dialogue that we typically have over the weekends, she expressed the same concern. She said, you know, with regards to her waiting staff and hostesses, as well as people that work in the kitchen for her, they said that they would come back to work. However, they want to come back to work free so that it didn't disrupt their overall government benefits that they were getting, which was a lot more than obviously what she was paying. I think one of the challenges, you know, not only as you've alluded to that we've kind of heard you talk about, is the sheer fact that the perception of what I would consider to be human thought process in, you know, in most cases, we look at the path, you know, like water, you know, you look at the path to least resistance. If the government is establishing a basis for, let's just say, all unemployed folks to receive that amount of money per month or per week or whatever the case may be, the likelihood of perception changing, like you stated, going back to work is going to be, it's almost like trying to wean a baby off a bottle. I think it's going to be quite challenging from the government's perspective to be able to re-engage the workforce. It's also going to be equally as challenging for companies, like you said, to find those qualified applicants that obviously want to work, or maybe they've made better career decisions and chosen not to go back to work and work in that capacity because it provides them with a more stress-free, I'm going to go do something else type of an approach. You know, from my perspective as being a business owner and dealing with consultants and dealing with employees, You know, our business has been fortunate enough where we can go remote, and obviously we can work remotely without having to sit in our customer's office. But still, in the same context, the objective that I'm facing as a business owner is the fact that our accounts receivables are not flowing as well as I would like for them to flow. And so, like you said, one of your points earlier, you know, the liquidity aspect, you know, you have to kind of begin to look at, you know, where do you get the money from? Where do you take a loan from your line of credit, or whether or not you tap into other business proceeds to be able to move things forward? And what we've been looking at from our perspective is trying to keep our customers on the notion of ensuring, okay, if you can't pay the full invoice, we've got to be on some type of retention and maintain an accrual basis so that we don't lose sight of some revenue stream coming in. And, you know, I just thought it would be good to kind of share that, you know, because like you said, you know, I'm dealing with some of these things as a business owner, and you know, I am a small business owner, and basically, you know, there are struggles that occur out there.
And, you know, and I'm sure, I know you, you're a leader and you happen to be a good guy. So
you mean, thanks, David.
I've come to realize you're a people too. I appreciate that, Greg. And you're not the only one who has expressed those feelings, but you know, they're real. And they're hard for you to deal with emotionally at times. And we're doing a lot of scrambling, like much like, you know, individuals that are not leaders are doing as well. You know, I mean, I've been even, you know, learning that, you know, institutions of faith are having problems getting their congregations in. And they're also starting to worry about where, you know, money is going to come from. Are people cutting back? It's pervasive. It's going on all around us, and we don't have a simple solution yet. And let's go one step further. If this thing starts to diminish, this COVID, will we be able to pick up back where we left off? That's another important question that leaders are facing. What is the new normal? Is it, you know, a recovery of the previous world, or are we at a different starting point again? So, for example, there are a lot of companies that, like you've said in your business, have gone to, you know, remote communications, and, you know, everyone's working from home, great, but when this is over, companies still have committed a lot of resources to leases and all sorts of stuff. And everyone is telling me, oh, yeah, it'll be great that we can work from home. It's got a lot of social implications, psychological implications. It's not a slam dunk that when you work at home, it's better than going in. A lot of people like to go to work because it gets them away from their families at times. It enables them to mingle with other people socially. It enables them to work in teams of people that are just, you can't quite reestablish remotely. You know, for periods of time, you can do it. And I've worked internationally where, you know, you can work remotely. But once in a while, you got to just be with people and look them in the face and be able to relate to them as humans. So I think this is going to have a lot of, you know, question marks. How do we reengage? What does it look like? And will I be able to continue to operate, compete, and be profitable? Even now, as we're going through some of these transitions, you know, some of the restaurants are having to operate with 50% capacity. If you look at some of the restaurants' profit margins, they can't break even. They lose money with 50% or 30%, you know, because of spacing. So this is not a long-term solution. I still think a lot of organizations and leaders are hanging on as long as they can, waiting for their ability to return to some form, whatever that looks like, of normal. And, you know, while they're going through this, keep in mind also, they deal with employees' concerns. Employees do have concerns, but they have to deal with them. And they have to answer questions they have. And maybe sometimes they just don't have an answer. And it's very frustrating for them and for those around them. So these are a lot of problems that keep business leaders up at night. Even large corporations, they're scrambling on how they, for example, redeploy their supply chain. You know, everyone's been talking about, we got to cut out, you know, supply from China. Where do you go? You don't just shut a plant and build one in one day. This takes years to do some of these things to realign. So just giving a, you know, more of a smattering here of some of the thoughts of what leaders stay awake at night, but they have it tough too.
Yeah. I totally agree with you in those remarks. It is like you said, it's heartfelt. It is it's depressing in some aspects, but as a leader, you know, you always have to find a way, particularly when you have so many resources and employees counting upon every decision that you make towards the governance and the successful outcome of any company, whether you be a small, medium, or large size business. And that's a lot of pressure, you know, and certainly the pressure of being able to understand in one's hindsight that you are not only impacting your ability to thrive, but you're also impacting the ability of others and their families to thrive. And trust me, I lose a lot of sleep over that on many, many different occasions. And, you know, as being a leader, it is tough. It is tough. And unfortunately, like you stated, there is no playbook. There's no get out of jail free card, as we would describe it, towards how this is going to look on the post side of this pandemic. But certainly, it should innovate, it should motivate, it should drive, you know, everyone in my mind to kind of think differently and hopefully be more unified in the context of how we're able to collaborate and achieve and work together yes. towards a common goal. Because certainly we really don't want to have to endure something like this again. I would hope not in my lifespan, and I'm going to be turning 50 in September, not to kind of, you know, share my age with my audience, but certainly I would hope the next 50 years or when I reach 100 is we're not looking at another crisis.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a little older than you. And I'm not looking for another crisis as well. But something else is going to happen, you know, and this is another opportunity for us to learn how to live with this. I lived through the Houston 1980s collapse due to the collapse of the exploration mm-hmm. side of the business in Houston. We lived through the dot-com mm-hmm. boom and bust. We've lived through mm-hmm. the Great Recession. We're living again. Some of this points to people, what skills we as individuals have to develop, and as leaders that we have to develop the resilience, the adaptability. You know, it's not going to get easier mm-hmm. life. Not that it's always going to be great. It's what you make of it, but there's going to always be challenges coming at us. There's nothing new here. This one happens to be one that is a little bit of a dogged one that's hard to get a lasso around. But that's happening.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Would you mind if I talk about the individual yeah. side of it a little bit?
Sure, absolutely.
You know, the other thing for leaders is that not only do they have to deal with their businesses and their employees and their concerns, but they have plenty going on for themselves personally before all this started, and their home life. We don't think as leaders mm-hmm. as having a home life. Maybe some don't. I found a couple of those around. But, you know, when I was teaching at the university, it was kind of funny because my students acted as if they locked me in a closet at the end of the day. And then I came out there solely to serve them when the next day came around. And little did they know that I came home to the same mm-hmm. family situations that many people do. And, you know, now what's going on in their mm-hmm. minds, will I have a job? What about if I'm married and I have a spouse? What's happening to that person's job?
Right.
What's going to be the financial impact on my family? Am I going to have to use, you know, savings to survive? I've got bills. As I said earlier, I've got college funds. I've got retirements. I had planned vacations. These are in the leaders just like they're in anyone else, because this is part of who they are and their life, and they've got to deal with it. Now, the other part is children not mm-hmm. in school. That's the one we all share right now, and they're yes. at home. And, you know, some people, maybe if you're well enough off, you can have someone take care of the kids in the house. But what I'm finding is most people are working from home. Maybe a spouse is there unless they're in an essential service. And I have a friend whose wife's an ER nurse. And while she's going to work, he's worrying about her health while he's trying to manage his kids and take care of his business. And she's being exposed. So there's all of that other personal turmoil that's going on for leaders as well as others. And let's be honest, you got your young kids around a long time and you're trying to do work. It's not an easy task. And you're going to see people's tempers are getting out of hand, leaders as well as anybody. And you know where that goes. That people are also worried about, you know, the impact on their own and family's health. As I was mentioning earlier, there are some essential businesses, and I have one of my ex-consultants who worked my firm is now an executive, is working in essential industry making film for packaging medical devices and food. He's got a kid home who has a form of cerebral palsy. He's now sequestered from his family because he goes into the manufacturing facility, and even though he's covered up, he has to decontaminate. He goes home, he sleeps in a separate bedroom from his wife, stays away from his family, because his child is so risk oriented right now. He doesn't want to have to do that. He doesn't want the guilt. God forbid something would happen. These leaders, like anyone else, are worried about their children's future. They worry about their parents' health. If they're young and they have parents who are, you know, over 65, you know, do I want to go see my parents? Do I want to put them at risk too? And then I think the other part is isolation. A lot of people, leaders included, are feeling isolation right now and unable to engage in relationships with other people. It may be easing up right now, but I think it's a false sense of security because this virus is running out there. And, you know, people, you're trying to get people to wear masks and they don't wear masks. Some want to, some don't want to. It's really turning into a crapshoot for leaders as well as just about everybody else. So those are some of the, you know, the concerns they have. Now let me just comment very quickly. Here's some of the feelings. We haven't talked about feelings, but with all of these stresses and things like that, here's what I hear from people. I'm frustrated. I can't do what I want to do. And us Americans, we do not like being held back. I can tell you that much. We are not a patient group. I'm anxious. I'm stressed out. I feel isolated. Sometimes people feel hopeless in this, resentment. They're blaming people. We can see the blame game going all over the place right now. You know, and there's a lot of anger that goes with that. On the other hand, there are people, and some of this may be just the way you're built, you know, your psychology. Some people are, you know, positive. They're trying to reframe the situation, look for the silver lining, opportunity. Maybe it's a time for me to do something different, spend time with my family, trying to be hopeful, trying to be grateful for what they already have, trying to, you know, develop realistic expectations, solve their problems, be resourceful, be resilient. I'll get through it. You know, these are the kinds of things that I'm seeing out there. And, you know, what's remarkable to me is that many of these same characteristics could be applied to just about anybody on earth, whether they're a leader or not. The point that this suggests to me is that leaders are absolutely people too. And it's not to feel sorry for anybody, although, you know, we may feel sorry for people. It's just understand that on any given day, when you have an expectation from your leader, you got to ask, you know, think about a little bit, what's going on in their world? Is this a good time for me to press them? Did they wake up on the wrong side of the bed because they didn't sleep at night because of the stresses that were keeping them awake as well? So that's just some of the thoughts I'd like to share with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we definitely appreciate all of that insight and looking at both sides, not only from the leader's ability to deal with what's going on within he or she's organization, but also from a personal perspective, because, you know, as we have worked on many things together in the past, particularly as it relates to some of the things we've talked about with build resiliency, they're all, as I would call, have an interdependency amongst each one of them. You know, your overall organizational behavior or culture behavior or personal behavior has a direct correlation and impact into your business continuity, as well as your overall resiliency within your organization. And certainly, David, we'd like to thank you. We are certainly pushing our time boundary here, and I'd like to kind of wrap up with a few dialogues and remarks here. And I think one of the things that I've captured here is the first step to finding a solution in these challenges for all affected people, as you've alluded to, is really to develop empathy, because leaders are people too, employees are people too, we're all people, and we have to have some type of empathy towards one another. When people understand basically where they're coming from and effectively begin to work together, there is a mutual benefit in the overall essence of results and resiliency and positivity, along with a forward moving outcome that comes away when we're able to mutually beneficially work together and kind of come together with a way of dealing and coping with these type of solutions. Overall, as you've alluded to and we've talked about through our last several minutes of dialogue here, is that developing empathy and having empathy sets the fundamental foundation whereby people can more effectively deal with future and major challenges or changes or disruption. So with those remarks, David, do you have anything else you'd like to
say
add
that,
to our
as
audience?
As a result of this, I and some colleagues, we have developed an instrument for examining the effective behaviors of leaders facing challenges and crises. And we're in the pilot testing phase. And maybe if there's an opportunity sometime in the future, would love to talk with folks about what we're actually finding. So that's something maybe we could put on the back burner for down the road. If people find that interesting, if not, that's fine. Just give it a thought.
Sure. Well, David, certainly, as a friend and as a professional colleague, I mutually respect everything that you've been able to share with us today on this podcast. Certainly, as people begin to listen to this podcast and they'd like to get in contact with David, we'd be willing to pass his information along. As I stated in the introduction, David is just a phenomenal scholar when it comes to understanding management and leaders. And without further ado, I'd like to go ahead and basically wrap up and say we'd like to thank our special guest, Mr. David Swagger. We certainly appreciate everyone to listening to episode 5, Leaders Are People Too. I'm Greg Proctor, your host. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, David. Bye-bye, listeners. You guys take care.